Turning your Bibles to John chapter 20, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John, and we're near the end. We're seeing the greatest event of all time, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, we think about this. He died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. It is finished. Jesus Christ bore in His body our sins. He took our sins. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died for us. But there's more, because He rose again on the third day to conquer death. And for these last few weeks, we've been seeing the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. In fact, there are 10, I think I've got it up here, there are 10 recorded appearances of Christ. And we're seeing them. In fact, we've seen the first four so far. And this morning, we're going to see number 5 and number 6. And they go right together, and we'll see how that fits together. As we look at the passage, I want you to think of some questions, think of some things. And here's what we're going to look at. First of all, what was Christ's command to the disciples? What did He tell them to do? And we'll talk about what we're to do. Second, what power did Jesus give His disciples? And third, what did Thomas think about Jesus? It's pretty powerful truth. We'll see it as we go through our passage. You know, there's an old saying that you got to see it to believe it. Oftentimes we say things like that. Somebody will say, you're not going to believe that. Well, unless I see that, I'm not going to believe that. Well, this morning, Christ appears to the disciples. And there's one of the famous disciples there. His name is Thomas. People call him Doubting Thomas, really because of this passage. I mean, he's a great man. Let me tell you what he did. Earlier, they were going to go, Jesus said, we're going back to the Judean area, to Jerusalem. And Thomas said, let's go that we might die with Him. I mean, he's a great man, but he's called Doubting Thomas because of this. The other disciples say to him, we've seen Jesus. And he goes, well, unless I actually get to see the places in the hand and see the side and touch it, I'm just not going to believe it. Sometimes it's hard to believe something unless you can see it. Now think about each of us in this room. I'm hoping and praying that every one of you in this room, you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You trusted in Him. You believe that He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. We believe that, but guess what? None of us have ever seen Him. We believe without seeing. Jesus says in His passage, blessed are those who did not see Me and believe. That's us. As we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see the appearances. Continue to see Him from the Scripture, the appearance of Christ after His death and resurrection. Let's be reminded of where we are. Jesus was arrested, tried 6 times by the Jews and the Romans, found guilty, put on the cross, crucified, buried, 3 days later, rose from the grave. We saw that after those 3 days, women went out to the tomb, body was gone. One of the women, Mary Magdalene, went back to get Peter, said, somebody stolen the body, somebody took the body. She went back to get Peter. Some angels appeared and told the other ladies that Jesus was alive. Later, when Mary comes back, she actually sees Jesus, and He tells her He's alive and all of this. And then the ladies, they're going a certain place, and Jesus appears again. It's an incredible thing. And then we know that He's appeared to Peter. That's what we know so far. In fact, if you go to this is the first 4 appearances. Mary at the tomb, the women going to tell the disciples, to Peter. And then we saw last week 2 men on the road to Emmaus talking. Jesus comes up. They don't even recognize Him because He fixes it where they don't recognize Him. He talks with them. He asks them why they're so sad, and they said because Jesus died and we thought He was the right one. Jesus actually taught them from the Bible how the Messiah was to die and rise again, took them through the Scriptures, and then appeared, basically then revealed Himself to them. They went running back, and when they got back, they said, we saw Jesus, but they said, look, He's already appeared to Peter. So already we have seen the first 4 appearances of Jesus. Well, this morning, 2 more. Let me break it down for you. Let me show you the passage. The 5th appearance is going to be to His 10 disciples. That's verses 19 through 23, where we are in John. Jesus appears and He gives a commission to them. He tells them and gives them the power, and He talks about their authority. And we'll talk about that because it ties into us. Then a little bit later, it's basically 8 days later, we'll see the 6th appearance of Jesus Christ to all 11 of His disciples. Remember, there were 12, but Judas wasn't a believer, and Judas killed himself. So there's 11 disciples, as we call them there. And that's in John 20, verses 24 through 29. Thomas sees Him and believes. And that's when Jesus says, blessed are those who do not see and believe. So it's powerful. Let's begin. Jesus is alive. He died on the cross to pay for our sin, because the wages of sin is death. He was separated from the Father. He was our substitute. That's the thing you cannot ever get over. That every one of us in this room, we deserve to be separated from God forever because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. We've never done any. In fact, the righteousness of man is what? What is it? It's filthy rags. It can never measure up. So what Jesus did is He took our place. He became our substitute. He died for us. And then He rose again, conquering death. Showing that He's God, as Romans chapter 1 says, declaring to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Well, now He's making Himself known to the believers. In fact, all 10 appearances of Jesus Christ after His resurrection are to people who believed in Him. It's to the believers. We have seen Him appear to Mary. We have seen Him appear to the women. We have not seen it, but we read where He appeared to Peter. And then, last week, we saw where He appeared to those two men on the road to Emmaus. Now, we're going to see the fifth and the sixth appearance. And it's Sunday evening, basically. Jesus comes to give instructions. He's going to give them a commission, what they are to do. He's going to give them the power, how they are to do it, how they can do it. And He's going to give them the authority as they go. It's really a powerful thing. Let's see the fifth appearance. John 20, verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, it's the same day that He arose. It's the same day He's already appeared to Mary. He's appeared to the women. He's appeared to Peter. He's appeared to the other two men. And now He is appearing to, basically, it's going to be 10 of His disciples. The doors were shut. The way that is written, it actually has an idea, not that they just shut the door, but they tried to fix it where it was locked, where nobody could get in. Why? It says, for the fear of the Jews. What are they afraid of? The rumors are all out that Jesus is alive. Rumors are that the disciples stole the body of Jesus and they're lying about this. They're actually afraid that some of these religious leaders are going to come get them and try to kill them. They're afraid. But you know what? Mary saw Jesus already. Women saw Jesus already. Peter saw Jesus already. Two men on the road to Emmaus have seen Jesus already. Peter's in this room. Why are they afraid? You know what I think? Not only is it fear of the Jews, but Jesus is alive. And if you look at their lives, they had all failed Him, every one of them. He told them, for whatever happened, you're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep are going to flee. He said, every one of you are going to run off. And they all said, we're not going to run off. And what did Peter do? Peter denied Christ three times. They all ran off. Now that He's alive, what they could be saying is, wow, He really is alive. It really is true. But boy, did we blow it. We blew it. And they may be a little bit embarrassed about this whole thing. They let Him down, or so they think. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were because of fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. Now, there's another reason that I think that John emphasizes the door was shut or locked. Because he didn't say Jesus knocked on the door and said, "Hey, it's me, open up." He just appeared. I mean, they're all, you know, probably talking, and all of a sudden they look, and there He is, standing right there in their midst. It says He's standing in their midst. He's in the middle of the people. Now, He just appeared. Now, let's face it. He's God. Can He do anything He wants to do? He can. Does He have a real body? The answer is yes. And He can appear whatever He wants to do. And He stood in their midst. He appeared right in the middle. And what did He say to them? Peace. Peace be with you. See, they needed peace because what does it say? The doors were shut because of what? Fear. See, when you're afraid, you know what you need? You need peace. You know, you say, "I'm so afraid this is going to happen." No, let's quit worrying about this. "Well, I'm afraid this is going to happen. You know, what's going to happen if they do?" He says, "Peace." By the way, this was a normal greeting. You could see people and you say, "Peace be with you." But Jesus is going to say it not just one time. He's going to say it twice, and then He's going to say it again when He comes back. And so He's not just telling them, "How you doing?" He's saying, "I'm bringing you peace. This is powerful." Religious leaders want to kill Him. Religious leaders want to, they've let Him down. But what does He say? Peace. Lloyd Ogilvie said this, "Peace is the result of grace. It literally means to bind together. See, the Lord's in control. He's dealt with the past. He's in charge of the now. He's going to take care of the future. What do we worry about? Do you realize that in the Bible there's two different kinds of peace? First of all, there's peace with God. See, before you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you were an enemy of God. You were going your own way. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. We're doing our own thing. We don't have peace with God. But the moment we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, Romans 5:1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So peace with God. Every one of you in this room, if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you now have peace with God. You're in a relationship with Him. There's a second kind of peace. It's called peace of God, and that is the peace you have in your life when you're doing the things that He wants you to do, when you're walking in the Spirit. Because what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. What's the third one? Peace. And so you can have the peace of God in your life. I think that's what He's saying to them. When He says, peace be with you, He's saying, you can have my peace. We're not enemies. That's been solved a long time ago, but you're all bothered by what's happened. And so He says, peace. Now, here is Jesus Christ in the middle of these 10 men. Watch what happens. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. He's not just saying, hello, how are you? He's saying over and over, you need to rest. You need to relax. I'm in control. I'm alive. I'm taking care of everything. And we need to do the same thing, because every one of you in this room, every one of us in this room, we all got problems. We all got things we're bothered about. We all got things we're worried about. We all got things like we're saying, I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen here. And He's saying to us, would you relax? I am in control. I have conquered death. I have dealt with sin. I'm living with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? Relax. That's what He's telling them. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Now, watch what He did, because He said, in verse 20, He said, when He had said this, He showed them both His hands and His side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now watch what He does. He then said, oh, by the way, look at this. Look at this. And look right here. He showed them. Why was He doing that? Because, see, He didn't want them to think He was some kind of spirit being, that He was just like a phantom. He was there and He would just disappear again. And they'd go, where did he go? Right? He said, come over here. Look here. Look at this place. Look at this place. Look at this place. I want you to know that hurt. Right? Because it did. He was dead. When He said this to him, He showed His hands and His side. And what was the response? By the way, I've got to show this to you. Resurrection is always of the body. If you've had a misunderstanding that resurrection is some kind of spirit being that you're floating around somewhere, no. Every human being will be raised bodily from the dead to live for all eternity. Some people will be raised bodily from the dead, and they will live forever with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life, and it comes by faith. Other people will be raised from the dead to live eternally separated from Jesus Christ. It's called the second death, and it's because a person did not put their faith in Him. Resurrection is always of the body. That's why this passage He does, see these places. In other passages, He says, give me something to eat. It's not because He's hungry. It's because He wants them to realize, this is a real body I'm really eating. This is not a ghost. This is a body. So He showed them His hands and His side. Look at the response. Look at the response. They rejoiced. When the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord, what did He told them? He said, you will not see me and you'll be sad. That's when He died. He said, you will see me again and you will rejoice. That's the resurrection. And sure enough, when they killed Him and they put Him in the tomb and they didn't see Him anymore, they were sad. And now when they've seen Him alive, they rejoice. Now what He's going to do, so Jesus said to them again, watch, peace be with you. This is the second time He says it to them. And then He's going to do three things. Watch what He's going to do. He's going to give them a commission. He's going to talk about the power, and He's going to talk about the authority. Now let me tell you, there's a couple of verses in here that are confusing. So we're going to explain them in just a minute so you can see how they fit together. So the commission, the power, and the authority. Let's look first at the commission. Look what he says to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." I mean, this is the commission. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. See, in the same way that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to come to this earth, to come give the message to mankind that He indeed is the Messiah and the Savior, Jesus said, in the same way the Father sent me to give this message, I'm now sending you to give this message. These men are supposed to go out and to say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died and rose again. He is the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Israel. He is the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the son of David. He is the Messiah and the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's what's supposed to, and that's what they're supposed to do. He's sending them out. They're commissioned to take the message. Now, three times he gives this commission to this group of men. I want you to see this. First of all, in this room, in this passage, he says, "As the Father sent me, I send you." That's the first time. Then later on, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, on a mountain in Galilee, he gives what we call the Great Commission. Jesus came out and spoke, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations." He tells them that's the second time that he does it. And then the third time is found in Acts chapter 1 on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem. He says, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world." So he tells these men three different times that the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You're going to go make disciples. You're going to go be my witnesses. Now, let me tell you something. Have these men failed? They did fail. But failure's not the end. Failure doesn't mean that God won't use you. Every one of us in this room, we fail God. We say, "I'm going to do this," and then we don't. We say, "I'm going to do this," and we don't. And we mess up here, and we sometimes say, "I've messed up so many times, God won't what? He won't use me." He will use you as long as He has you alive on this earth. He has a commission given to all of us, and that is to take the message of Jesus Christ, starting right here in this community. And we got to do that. And so, in the same way that He gives this commission to those guys, He gives us a commission. In fact, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beg through us. We represent Jesus Christ to a lost world. That's what we do. That's the plan. And if failure stops us, nobody gets to do anything. And you could look at these men, and I tell you, you could look at Peter and say, "Peter, he may use some of us. He never going to use you. Because three different times, you said you didn't even know him." That's why God put John chapter 21 in this Bible. Because in John 21, Peter denied Christ three times. Jesus comes to Peter three times and says, "Do you love me?" "Yes, take care of my sheep." It's never too late. It's never too late to serve the Lord. So wherever you are in your life, whatever it is, you realize we have a responsibility. I mean, we're a new church, right? I mean, there are people in this town, they're going to try to find out what we're going to do. What do we believe? What do we like? What are we really like? Are we going to be like everybody else? We're just going to come and be together and take care of ourselves. Or are we going to come and be equipped and worship our God and Savior and then go into this community and make an impact for Christ? What are we going to do? You may say, "Well, I've failed so much in the past." It doesn't matter what your failure is. These guys all failed. And what did He say to them? "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We have to be faithful to take this message into the world because people need to know the truth. And you got the truth. We got Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Paul Harvey said this. He said, "Too many Christians no longer are fishers of men, but they're keepers of the aquarium." And that's true. We have to be faithful. D. James Kennedy died several years ago, but he had a lot of ideas about evangelism. And in all of his research, here's what he said. He said, "One of the saddest statistics of our day is that 95% of all church members have never led anyone to Christ." If I said to you, "Are you capable of going out these doors and talking with a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, someone, and able to share with them the message of salvation so that they can understand and put their faith in Christ?" I hope that every one of you can. We say it over and over and over. Jesus is the Son of God. He died and rose again. Whoever believes in Him has eternal life. But if you were to say, I don't think I'm there yet, you call me. And I'll either get with you one-on-one and train you, or I'll get some other people in our church to train you so that when you go out these doors, you have the confidence that you know how to go to the Scripture and share your faith. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're to go out with that message. Now, here's the second thing, and this is powerful. He's given them the commission. As the Father sent me, I send you. Here's the second thing. He gives them the power. Look at the verse. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. He gave them the Holy Spirit so they would have the power to fulfill the commission that he gave to them. Now, what's going to happen in about 50 days is that the Holy Spirit's going to come on 120 believers who are gathered together, and the Holy Spirit's going to put those believers into the body of Christ, and He's going to indwell every believer from that point on. So every one of us, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the moment you trusted in Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live inside you. Right here, Jesus says, I'm going to breathe on you the Holy Spirit to give you the power to serve me, especially in these next 50 days, because then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to put all the believers together and give every believer the Holy Spirit. This is what He's doing. He's empowering them to do the ministry. He has empowered every one of us to do the ministry. It is scary. If I said to you, let's just me and you, after lunch we'll eat. After lunch, we're going to go into a neighborhood. And we're just going to go up to somebody's house. We don't even know who it is. And we're going to knock on the door. And they're going to open the door. And we'll say, hey, we're from Stillwater Bible Church. And we would like to ask you some spiritual questions if you have time. And then I'm going to look at you and say, and you do the talking, right? Would we all be scared? We're all scared. It's a spiritual battle. If you say, I'm going to share my faith when I'm not scared anymore, you'll never share your faith. Because you're fighting a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of wickedness, against evil forces in a fallen world. So we're going with the greatest message of all. We're going with good news. We're not selling them anything. We're giving them life in Jesus Christ. So that's the power. We can do all things through the one who strengthens us. So we've seen the commission, we've seen the part. Now, here's the third one, and this third part bothers some people because they read the verse wrong. Let me show it to you. The authority. Look what he says. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. What in the world? It looks like he's saying, you go out and you get to forgive sins. That's not what he's saying. We don't have the right to forgive sins. Who forgives sins? God forgives sins. That's why when Jesus was there and he turned to that person in all the house and he said, stand up and walk. Well, he said, your sins are forgiven. And they looked around and they said, only God can forgive sin. That's true. Only God can forgive sin. He said, when you go out and you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins have been forgiven. Now, we read that wrong. It looks like he says, you go out and you tell somebody, your sins are forgiven. They'll be forgiven. When a person believes in Christ as Savior, at that exact moment, their sins are forgiven. Okay? So when we lead someone to Christ, when you say, do you believe in Jesus? And they say, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. You can say by the authority of the Scripture, you have forgiveness of sins. You're not forgiving their sins. Their sins have already been forgiven. If you read the verse carefully, notice, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. It doesn't say their sins will be forgiven. They have been forgiven. That's the perfect tense in the Greek language, which means a past action with continuing results. He's saying when you go out representing me and you give them the good news message and they believe in me, you can tell them your sins have been forgiven. And it's the same thing for us. When we go out and we talk to somebody and we tell them the truth about Jesus Christ and they trust in Christ as Savior, you can say to them, you have eternal life and your sins, what? Have been forgiven. Forgiveness of sin comes by faith. That's Acts 10:43 and Acts 13:38. Those two verses say whoever believes receives forgiveness of sins. So Jesus is not telling these guys they can go forgive sin and go, your sins are forgiven. No. We say, if you have believed in Christ as Savior, your sins have been forgiven. It's so powerful. So, I don't know, is there a slide there? What does it say? Oh, The apostles have the authority to tell them their sins have been forgiven. If they reject, they have the authority to tell them their sins are not forgiven. Forgiveness of sin comes by faith. Now listen to this. We've talked about this before. Payment of sin comes by Jesus' death on the cross. Forgiveness of sins comes by faith. Every human being has the payment of sin because Jesus died on the cross and paid for the sins of the entire world. Payment of sin does not save people. Faith in Christ saves people. And when you believe, you have forgiveness of sin. Now, sometime we'll go into a lot more detail to make sure you got that. But that's what we're seeing here. So he says to them, here's the commission. Just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Here's your power, Holy Spirit. Here's your authority. You have the authority to tell them when they believe, they have forgiveness of sins. Boy, that is a powerful thing. So, Jesus appeared. He's given them a commission. He's given them the power. He's given them the authority. By the way, we have the same thing. We have the same commission. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech through us. We have the same power, the Holy Spirit. We have the same authority. We can tell all who believe that they have the forgiveness of sins. Or you can say it this way. Your sins have been forgiven. It's just that simple. Wow. Would you like to have been there? Well, so would have Thomas. He would have liked to have been there, but he wasn't there. I don't know where he was, right? So look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Do you know what Didymus means? You may know? Y'all know, don't you? It means twin. See, there's Jean and her twin sister right there. I do not mix that up. I promise you. I do not mix it up. I can tell them apart. Okay. So he's a twin. So Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You know, we could actually say, where were you? Everybody else was in there. So the other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord. Can you believe it? He comes back in and they go, where have you been? You just missed him. Jesus was here. No. Oh, yes, he was here. He was here. In fact, he told us what to do. We got the Holy Spirit. I don't think you did. Right? You weren't here. So the disciples said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. That's why throughout history he's always been called Doubting Thomas. What would you do? I can tell you what you'd do. You would have believed because you believe now and you didn't see. He said, until I can see the place and put my finger down in there, until I can see the place on the side and put my hand there, I'm just not going to believe this. Sometimes things seem too good to be true, don't they? Somebody gives you land. We'll take it. Yeah. See? And so watch what happens. The sixth appearance, I think we have. Yeah, here it is. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst. And what did he say? Peace be with you. Now, he's not just telling them hello. He's reminding them about his peace. 8 days have passed. If you were Thomas, wouldn't you say, tomorrow, he'll come tomorrow. Maybe he'll come tomorrow and I'll get to see him. Okay, maybe he'll come on Tuesday. You know, okay, maybe I have not seen him. Everybody says, well, you should have been there. You know, you should have been there. Well, it was fantastic. I tell you, it was fantastic. Thanks a lot. But anyway, what happens? 8 days later, they're inside. The doors are shut again. Thomas was with him, and he comes in and says, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. He literally says, stop being unbelieving. He says, Thomas, you can touch it right here. Touch it because you need to believe. Quit being. Now, he's not talking about believing for eternal life. Thomas already believed in him for eternal. He's talking about believing that he's really alive and that he's, you know, he's walking around and there's a resurrected body and all of that. Believe that he's standing right there and it's true that sins are paid for, death is conquered. Stop doubting. There may be some of you in this room who have heard about Jesus all your life and you've never believed in him as your Savior. Stop being unbelieving. Put your faith today in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He died and rose again. He gives you life simply by faith. He gives you eternal life and the forgiveness of sins simply by faith. We'll watch Thomas's response. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." See, the word Lord there has the idea of deity, and of course God. He's basically saying, you're God, you're the real God, you're the true God. And so we already know that, right? Next slide. See, because back in the beginning of the book, when John wrote this, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh," that's God in the flesh. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." We've seen all the way through the I Am statements in the book. "I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the resurrection of the life, I'm the way, the truth, and the life." All of those show that He's God. So all the way through the book, all the way through the Gospel of John, we've seen this. And by the way, when we're going to stop in a second, the final two verses of this chapter is the whole purpose of the book of John. These were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you'll have eternal life. So what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, don't be unbelieving, be believing. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He said, "Wow. You are." And then Jesus says those great words, "Because you have seen me, have you believed?" Answers, "Yes, yeah, you saw me, you believe." Well, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. See, there were people even then that they went out and said, "We've seen the Lord." And they said, "Hallelujah." Hallelujah means praise the Lord in Hebrew. And so, there's a whole group right here who have not seen Him, but we believe. He said, that's blessed. Blessed. Blessed are they did not see and yet believed. Is there another slide, or is that the last one? Is there one more? Yeah, we've never seen Jesus Christ, but we've believed. Wow. We get to go into the world with a message that Jesus is alive, that He died and rose again, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection of life. He is the Savior of the world, and all who believe have eternal life. What have we seen? We've seen Jesus appears to the 10 disciples, and He gives them a commission. They're to go out, and as the Father sent Him, they go out. They go with the power of the Holy Spirit. They go in the authority to forgive sins. Thomas wasn't there. 8 days later, he's all upset because he wasn't there, and he says, "I just got to see this in order to believe it." And Jesus appears and says, see, now believe. Quit being unbelieving. It's blessed are those who didn't see me and believe. So let me give you some applications. Trust Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here this morning and you have never put your faith in Christ, right where you're sitting, you can believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. He rose again. When you believe in Him, you have eternal life. Think about this. When all who believe have eternal life, and guess what? Forgiveness of sin. That's one of the things that he emphasizes in this passage. So the truth for some of you, stop being unbelieving. Be believing. Put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. I think it's the greatest message to understand that we don't go to heaven because we do good, and we're not saved because we live righteously, we go to church, we give money, we try to do all kinds of things. We're not saved because of anything that we do, because we can never measure up. We're saved because Jesus Christ took our place, paid for our sins, and rose again, and gives to us the gift of eternal life, which is simply by faith. I hope and pray every one of you in this room, when you walk out these doors, if you hadn't already trusted in Christ, that right now you'll put your faith in Him. Second, realize Jesus gives peace. He does. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. It's powerful. I think is it up there on the... Is there a part? Yeah, we can have peace with God, which comes by faith, Romans 5:1, but we can also have the peace of God as we trust in Him day in and day out. J. Oswald Sanders, he's a great writer, he said this, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of God." As we go through life, we just say, "Thank you, Lord, that You're there." Because I can guarantee you, after you leave here, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems every day. But you can have peace. The third thing, let's fulfill our responsibility. So what is our responsibility? Well, our commission is to be ambassadors of Christ, to make disciples, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, to go out into this community with this message. We go out in the power. Our power is the Holy Spirit who indwells in each of us. And our authority, and based on this passage, our authority is we announce that by faith, the person receives forgiveness of sins. Now, we can say it this way. We can say, when you believe in Jesus, you get eternal life. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you have forgiveness of sins. You can even say this. When you believe in Jesus Christ, God gives you His righteousness. All of those are true. This passage is emphasizing the forgiveness of sins. If we want to make an impact in this community as a new church, the emphasis is not on us. And the emphasis is not on what's good for us. The emphasis is going in this community and taking the message, seeing people come to know Christ, bringing them in, training them and equipping them to do the same thing. That's how we're going to make an impact in this church, in this community as a church.